Well, we're bringing to a close 3 months of teaching this morning. We've been doing a series on the spiritual disciplines. We did our final discipline last Sunday. We looked at the discipline of fasting and tried to look at some newer ways to look at that. So I won't be covering any more disciplines, but I said last week that we were just going to do a wrap-up this morning, and which I think is kind of suitable following 3 months. So if you could take this out of your bulletins, this kind of looks like this kind of parchment-looking insert. Now, if you're sharing a bulletin, then there's only going to be one of these between two of you. I need everybody to have one, so I'm going to ask the ushers to go through and give you one, because there needs to be one of these in everyone's hand this morning. And also, if you don't have any writing utensil, oh, do we have Christmas pens for... Look at this. Spare no expense. Actually, it was the Swihearts from the 9 o'clock service very graciously gave us this jumbo bag of Christmas pens. They didn't do it as a promotion for their small business. But if you ever need pens, they would be ideal people to speak to. Okay, so we're going to need more than probably two people handing these out. So if anybody wants to grab a handful and help them out, we are going to need one of these in every hand, and it's worth taking a moment to do that. Ushers, we're going to need more people handing these out. Yep. I know you're thinking, I could share a pen with my wife. We share everything else. Okay, everything but a pen this morning. Okay, we're going to... have a little bit of something to work through. Good morning. Okay. Now, just while those are being handed, some of you, I notice a look of nervousness coming on your face. Is this going to be a test? And do we have to hand these in? Are we being graded? Categorically not. It's for you and your eyes alone. So Ian won't be broadcasting it on the evening news. Nothing like that. Okay, it's just something, as a point of reflection, and something you'll be able to put in the sleeve of your Bibles and to keep with you. Again, so keep pens going. Anybody that needs, you're going to need one of these each. I know some of you think, not me. Okay? No, I mean you. It's one of the things about discipleship is you get people doing things they're not always in the custom of doing. That's one of the little things about discipleship. Okay, so welcome to that territory. Now, we have been working on some things for 3 months. If you have come sometime within those 3 months, or today's your first Sunday, I know it could be tempting to think, you know, what good is this for me? I haven't been here for this whole series, but just stay with us, okay? Even if you haven't been able to be here for it all. Sometimes you just have to slip into the stream and go with people and just think, you know, you can reflect and answer the questions on as much as you have been here, or if you want to flip through your Bible to some of the texts, okay? But you are not excluded this morning. This is just as important for you if you have not been here for the full of this 3 months. Okay, so has everybody got one of these? Okay, everybody has a writing utensil? Okay. All systems go. All right. We have a bit of a, we're going to work through this, but we're going to work it through prayerfully. And so I'd like you to, first of all, just join me in prayer. Let's just focus on the Lord. And there's some confessions right now in our heart we want to make to him, and it's this. We want to say, Jesus, you are my discipler. Jesus, I am your disciple. As a disciple, Lord, you're my teacher. You're my source of truth. You're my source of instruction. You're my source of guidance. I'm your student. I'm your pupil. I worship you. You're my mentor, Lord. And being taught by you requires me to be teachable. So Lord, even now, would you give us teachable hearts? You cannot teach someone who is not teachable. You're the most supreme teacher in the world. So Lord, make us teachable. Give us listening ears, a soft, receptive heart. And just now in prayer, I want you to think about the days when you first became a Christian. And you found yourself exclaiming to someone, guess what the Lord's been teaching me? And it just spilled out of you. I want you to think of those moments. Guess what the Lord has been teaching me? Can I tell you? The Lord's been teaching me something. And I want you to savor the excitement there is in being taught by Jesus Christ. And we want to be in that place always. Any given week, if I'm a Christian for 60 years, I want to be able to say to someone, guess what the Lord's been teaching me? Just like as a new Christian. Because His teaching, His words are life. He's not just imparting facts and propositions. He's imparting life. Not just head knowledge. He's imparting Himself through His teaching. He's imparting the kingdom. So Lord, teach us. We want the life and the joy and the exhilaration that comes by having been taught by God Himself. Holy Spirit, would you come and be our teacher this morning? Help us in this discipling process. Assist us and support us. You're called the helper. You help us to learn. You help us to see rightly. Holy Spirit, would you just fill this place and be in charge and do what you do well, which is reveal Jesus to our hearts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, would you be with us now as this spirit of prayer, may the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you be mighty upon us this morning. Be with us as we go through this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, man, if you just stay in that spirit of prayer and listening to the Lord and being taught by Him, we're going to briefly go through the 12 disciplines in a few minutes. And then actually, you're going to take your sheet and your pen, and it's just going to be an atmosphere for you to be able to ask the Lord to speak to you about those. And for you to be able to just do a bit of writing on that. If that's not enough paper, there's another piece of paper in your on your bulletins there, and you could just, for those of you that love to write and be prolific, just then carry on, okay? And so we'll just have some music in the background, and we're going to have 10, 15 minutes just to write and think and listen and enjoy His presence and be discipled by Him. So let's briefly go through. We didn't plan this, but after having studied for 3 months the lives and of the 12 disciples, we very neatly ended up with 12 disciplines. I'd love to say that was deliberate, but it wasn't. And then when all is said and done, we've put it on the back here, the very reasons why we did this. It's been our goals, our thrusts, our intents in the last 3 months for you to be able to remind yourself of those. So let's touch upon these briefly. Number one, the discipline of receptivity was the very first discipline that we touched upon. We looked at Jesus, the first coming into the public eye and ministering, and He was ministering amongst those that He had grown up with. And the problem with ministering there is that the people knew Him, but they had become overly familiar with Him. They knew Him as the son of Joseph and Mary, and they couldn't make the jump to seeing Him as God's son. They could only see Him as Joseph's son. And because they couldn't see Him rightly, they couldn't actually receive Him or welcome Him for who He was. The Bible says He couldn't do many miracles amongst them because they didn't welcome Him appropriately. So He went on to Capernaum, to a place where He was welcomed and celebrated and received well. And so it's the discipline of receptivity, and the disciples, one of the things that characterized them is that when Jesus said, come follow me, they're so responsive to Him. They jumped out of the boats and swam to shore and wholeheartedly followed Him. And so there's a discipline involved there. We asked ourselves questions like when God speaks to you and I, are we responsive to His word? Is there something in us that says, you bet, Lord, this is God speaking to me. I want to do something about it. I want to heed you. Are we responsive to the presence of God when He's amongst us? How do we not become overly familiar with His presence? But are we sensitive to it? Are we responsive to His prompts that during any day when the Lord prompts you and says, you should, you know, do this at work or go talk to that person or give this to that person? How can we be responsive to that as unto Him? And so we talked a lot about responsiveness, receptivity. The key truth was this: Jesus will be His fullest self where He is most enthusiastically accepted or responded to. Okay, discipline number one. Discipline number two, we talked about the discipline of pursuing healing. We talked about some of the instances in the Gospel of Luke where people would go to such extreme lengths. They were so diligent and even desperate in their pursuit of healing. We looked at the story where people dismantled the roof of someone's house so they could lower a friend down and to put him into the healing presence of Jesus. And Jesus had said when He saw their faith, desperate faith, go to any length faith, the faith that doesn't give up kind of faith, when He saw that kind of faith, it says He said to the man, be healed. And so we looked at this key truth. Jesus healed people who diligently pursued Him for healing. There was people who walked for miles just to be in His healing presence. So nobody, one thing you never hear in the gospel is if He wants to heal me, He can come to me. No one ever said that. It's never recorded once. Because people had this idea that if He's got healing, I'm going to go to Him and be healed. And so then we looked at an even deeper level of healing. We looked at the healing of our hearts. And we look deeply at that and we said, are we pursuing Him for the healing of our hearts? Do we pursue Him? Do we walk miles? Do we do what it needs to do for the healing of our hearts? And are we pursuing Him for that? That's the second discipline. The discipline of being vigilant. Marvelous story. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, it says He arose from prayer, He went back to the disciples, and He found them asleep. Bill did this discipline. And He said this, in the spiritual conflict in which every believer is engaged, it is crucial, to maintain our vigilance. So again, am I vigilant? Am I spiritually alert? Or have I been lulled to sleep over the years? Number four, the discipline of transparency. I love this text of Scripture. Because it's the call of Peter. It's the moment where Jesus says to Peter, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. But what had to happen before His call? He had to feel that it was okay to be found out by Jesus. For Jesus to know everything that was in his heart, good, bad, and ugly. For him to be able to confess it and know that it was safe to do that in Jesus. And so here's the text. Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. And then Jesus said, do not be afraid. Yes, I've seen what's in your heart. Yes, I know what's in your heart. Yes, I know the things you struggle with. Yes, I know what you're afraid of, Peter. Don't be afraid. I'm not going to give up on you. In fact, because you've been able to be humble in confessing, come on, I'm going to make you into a fisher of men. And it actually launched his call. Key truth there, Jesus creates an atmosphere of grace where we no longer have to hide or deny our sin or shortcomings or fears, but where we can confess our sin openly and our shortcomings and feel the security that there is in his love. I can be secure in that. Okay? So again, how are we doing on that? Just as a side note, if you have been disciplined in that area, if you can do that with Jesus, you're probably that much closer to be able to find safe people in your life and to also confess to people. Okay, so you're probably at a place where you could say, can I go for coffee with you? And during that coffee to say, can I tell you about something that I'm struggling with? Okay, very, very important part. Very important thing to be able to do. Confession. Number five, the discipline of receiving. Luke's gospel, of all the four gospels, gives the best coverage by far of the prayer life of Jesus. Constantly, and Jesus went to pray, and Jesus withdrew, and he went to pray. This text says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places. He often did it. It was a discipline. It was something he did with regularity. If you read the few verses before, it talks about how busy he was in ministry. Okay, how the crowds were there. It talks about how much responsibility he had. It talked about the great demands there was on his life. And then it says this one word, but. But he still withdrew to prayer. In other words, it doesn't matter how many people were looking to him. Doesn't matter how great the responsibility was. He still withdrew to an even higher privilege, and that was to go alone and be with his Father. And the reason we touched upon is having poured himself out, he knew the importance of being found in God's presence and being filled again by the Lord, because there was still another day yet to minister. So we talked about the discipline of receiving. Jesus wants us to see how much the Father would lavish on us if we would but withdraw to be with him and receive from him. Okay? What we're trying to do is put prayer in a little different light. If I called it the discipline of prayer, we talked about it, which is what it is actually. But I know for some people it could sound austere. I should just be doing some praying. I should be doing more praying. But they haven't yet understood what it is in prayer that the Father wants to do with them. Number six, the discipline of rest. We looked at the life of Mary and Martha, Jesus visiting their home. Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened. She's in a posture of rest. She's gazing up into his face, and she's listening to him. It's a study of contrast because her sister Martha, it says, was distracted with much serving. We talked in that discipline that there's nothing wrong with serving. In fact, the Bible puts an amazingly high premium on serving. But it puts an even higher premium on being found in his presence. Gazing up into his face and listening. Because out of that comes good serving. Right? Out of that comes good serving. Yes, there's a place to serve. But it comes on the other side of having rested in his presence and been with him. Praise the Lord. And we're doing a bit of that this morning. Number seven, the discipline of grace and truth. Bill preached this, and he talked about worship, talked about the parable where everyone is invited to a kingdom feast, and it says, but they all began to make excuses. Key truth, a disciple is one who is like his teacher. Thus, discipleship is a life of learning from Jesus, how to be like Jesus in every way possible. Number eight, Ryan took this one. We called it the discipline of intentional community. That building true community, building true relationships is something we have to be very intentional. It does not happen by coincidence. It doesn't happen by accident. It takes some time, some effort, and some discipline. But we also talked about about a community on mission. Ryan said this, Jesus and his disciples were more than a group of best friends. They were a community who were brought together for a mission. Well said. Number 9, the discipline of a right spirit. As important as it is to rightly receive Jesus, anything he does, want to say, wants to speak to my heart, wants to do in my life, you'll remember that the disciples found a group of people that didn't want to receive Jesus. They didn't want to welcome him. So the disciples wanted to call down fire on those people and destroy them. And Jesus said, you really missed the mark on that one. He said, you do not know what kind of spirit you are of. And it says that he rebuked them. And so the key truth is that Jesus is committed to maintaining a right spirit within me. And if Jesus' closest followers, even his 12 disciples, at times could get something wrong in their spirit, they could get their nose out of joint and begin thinking very, very wrong toward those people. How much more us, who, you know, I'm not really matching up to Peter, James, and Paul. How much more us, and how much more important is it to allow the Lord access always if there's something he wants to correct in my spirit. We touched upon the last few verses there where it said, and Jesus rebuked them, and it was just the end of the story. He didn't give up on them. They were no less important to him. They're no less valuable to him. They're still his champions, but they had the discipline of knowing how to receive correction from the Lord and not flying off the handle when he did it. And they knew that he loved them. And they could receive correction from him. And so part of the problem with preaching things like this is I can't tell you how many times I've been quite severely corrected by the Lord since then. And the Lord has made sure there's been some good human instruments to help him out. But I have been corrected by the Lord not many times since then. Next time I preach this series, I'm going to miss that one out. I'm just going to miss that one out because it's come with, no, I'm just joking. I've been very corrected by the Lord on a number of occasions. I said, Todd, you preached this. So now I'm going to give you a good chance to practice that. And, boy, I've had a lot of correction since then. Okay. Number 10, the discipline of asking. This was a big one. So I say to you, ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. And we went on to the latter part of Luke chapter 11 and said, if you understood what kind of heavenly father that we have, how good and generous he is and how he loves our voice and he loves our coming to him persistently, then those words make a lot of sense. He loves our asking. Just even loves the sound of our voice. Never tires of it. Loves our seeking. Loves our knocking. So the key truth was our Father in heaven loves and invites our coming to him persistently. Obviously, as we go through these things, we want to ask ourselves, are these in fact becoming a discipline? There's an axiom that has come up again and again, and it's this. And discipline is not a discipline unless it's practiced with regularity. Unless you practice it often, it's not a discipline. So here's some of the questions. Do you pray differently than you used to? Do you ask? Discipline of rest. Are you taking time, like Mary, to go be found in his presence? Are you withdrawing from busyness? Discipline number 7, to take the time to receive. Because if you're not, I'm going to have to preach the whole series again. Okay, so you realize you're putting me in a difficult predicament. If I preach for 3 months and you're not doing any of these disciplines, then come January 1st, I'm going to have to do the whole thing again. And I'd appreciate if you could save me that. But that's why we're doing this today. A discipline is not a discipline unless you practice it with some consistency. So these are some of the things the Lord wants to speak to our hearts about today. Turning it from a sermon into a discipline. Discipline number 11, the discipline of the crucified life. Bill did this one. If anyone would come after me, Jesus said, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I didn't get a chance to do that one. The next time we do that series, that one's got my name on it. I want to do that one because that is a theme that is very, very, very close to my heart. I went through a 12-year experience of identification with the cross. So that's a very, very close one to my heart. And it's one that we just have to continually bring ourselves back to. That's why he said, die daily. Daily, I've got to make that choice again to let go of my selfishness, to die to it, to deny myself of it, and to live the crucified life. And number 12, the discipline of fasting. We talked about living a fasted lifestyle. Key truth, those who most anticipated Jesus' coming were those who were living a fasted or spiritually focused life. Okay. I'm going to invite Joe to come, and again, we're just going to ask the Lord to come in, and I want you just to go through those with a listening ear. I want you just to hang out at the feet of Jesus and spend a bit of time there and ask him to be close to you and speak to you. If this is very uncomfortable with you, it's okay. I know it's way easier not to do this, okay? But it's a discipline. And if we could do it here, you could wake up tomorrow morning and do the same, and you could have personal devotions, and you could actually make time and hear from God for yourself. So is this a particularly easy thing to do? No, it's not. There's some people that would take to this like a duck to water, and there's some people that find it very, very hard. It's okay. All right? It's okay. It's just something to learn to do and to take a bit of time to do. So you just go through there and just pray and say, Lord, how am I doing on these? Anything you want to say to me? Maybe the Lord will speak to you and say, he'll just celebrate you. You do that so good. He'll just celebrate you. You've really worked hard on that. And you've really made some really serious progress, and you'll just feel the celebration of God for you. And there may be one he'll just say, yeah, I'm working on you on that. I'd like you to make some more time for that. Okay? So Joe, why don't you play, and can I just get you to join me one more time in prayer, and then we're just going to have a stretch of time to work on that. Jesus. Lord, when you called us to be your disciples, you did not call us to a spectator sport. You did not call us to sit in the stands and cheer for someone else. You called us to the track. You called us to run a race. Those who have died and went to be with the Lord are in the stands. The great cloud of witnesses are in the stands, but we are not. We are in your race. We are participators in the kingdom of God. And we are participating in our own discipleship. Lord, forgive us when we thought that our discipleship is always someone else's job, someone else's responsibility. This morning we own it. And we say to ourselves, my discipleship is my responsibility. By the very nature of discipleship, it's my responsibility to pursue it, to pursue the Lord, to be teachable. It's my responsibility to hear from God, to listen, to act. So Lord, help me to be responsible. Be with me in this moment in a way that's bigger than some of us might expect. So Lord, when I said that we're going to take some time to listen to you, I know that in some of our hearts we thought, listen to him. He's not going to say anything to me. I pray that people would be surprised this morning. Surprised. with how precious this time could be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you're here this morning and you were not here for any of this series on the Gospel of Luke, you could just ask us for a Bible and you could just read Luke's Gospel in this time. And you could fill your time quite well. The Word of God speaks for itself. Well, let's just have a good time now and just have a time with the Lord, and then we'll come up and finish things off. see everybody working feverishly away on these. Let me add one more category. You may have to go back to some of that. And it's not another discipline, but it's this question. And it's this. What about your role as disciplers? When I look around the room here, I see today many people who have walked with the Lord Jesus for a wonderfully long time. Some people who are more newer to him. But a lot of you, you've been like this with him for a long time. But whether you've just come to know him or you've been inseparable with him for many years, what about your role as a discipler? Being a good disciple should make someone a good discipler. And for you, what does discipling look like? Jesus said to all of us, go into the world and make disciples. But what does that look like for you? Young parents or parents of young children, how would it affect your view of parenting? If you thought of it in those terms, I'm discipling my children. I'm their primary discipler under the Lord. Okay. Teachers, how would it affect your view of teaching? Teachers assistants, employers, how would it affect your view of your job if you looked at your employees as, I'm going to disciple these people? My friend Mitch here today, I can't help but think of him because he has a leadership consulting business. And the more I understand what he's doing, I think that guy is doing, it's all about discipleship and Great Commission. And it's helped me so much. Okay. So I want to give you a few more minutes to ask yourself the question, what does discipling look like to you? If we have a church where people are always on the receiving end of discipleship, but we're not discipling, there would be something very unhealthy about that. So just in God's presence, for you to ask him, what does discipling look like for me? you're writing, please don't stop. But for the rest of you, how are you doing this morning? Thank you for engaging with me and sticking with me through this process. I know I don't intend on doing that every Sunday, but most of the time there's a method to my madness. There can be a human tendency in us to think, hey, don't make me think deeply. That's why we pay you the big bucks. You think for us. But the problem is it doesn't make good disciples. It really doesn't. It doesn't produce good discipleship. That mentality. My role is not to hear God for you. What I'd like to do is think of my role is to help you hear God for yourself. That's your inheritance. Jesus died for you to bring you into a union with God that you relate with Him. Hear Him. Let Him disciple you. Jump onto the journey. And anything that I can do that will help that end, for you to live in a way that you go, I heard the Lord speak to me. The Lord's discipling. The Lord's active in my life. Guess what He's doing? That's a good end. That's a good end. And whatever we have to do to get to that end, that's very worthy for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just take a moment. We'll just give thanks to the Lord. So good to us. He said so much to us over these months. I never want to take His word lightly. I don't want to take His presence lightly. I don't want to take the Holy Spirit lightly. I don't want to take His people lightly. I don't want to take anything that He gives for granted. I traveled for many years and was an itinerant, and I stayed in many homes. And one of the things I disciplined myself to is never take a lady's meal for granted. She probably worked harder getting that meal than I worked harder in ministry all day long. And I train myself, don't take that for granted. Don't be unthankful when I go there. She has put as much love and care and attention as anything I did in my whole day. Gratitude, appreciation is something we train ourselves in. So Lord, how much more do we thank You for the meals You serve up, that Your presence in our life every day. Your word. Thank You, Lord.